Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
That's the sound of rock cracking, and once again, you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. So good to have you once again. This week we got packed in. You're just going to have to listen to the show all the way to the end because there's so much we've got in here. Let me first tell you thank you for our new listeners. Thank you for those who are telling your friends and neighbors, because that's the reason we're growing. That's the reason we're getting the word out across the nation that we are going to make a stand for what's right, what's principled, and the freedoms that we depend on to have a free country. We're losing them. America is dying, and that's why Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics is here to help diagnose the situation and get some health into this Obamacare. It's nothing but like a death star. We talked about last week's show with Josh Withrow, and I'm glad to tell you this week's show, we got Josh coming back for the second half of the interview. We'll be talking about Medicaid expansion in the states, what it means, what you need to know, and what you need to do about it to make sure that this country doesn't get wrapped up in the tyrannical mess that is where the government controls everything. But not only that, this week's show, we're going to talk some about John McCain and Lindsey Graham. And what did they say about the filibuster of Rand Paul and a lot of those young Senate Republicans? How dare they? Well, we're going to talk about in this week's Tombstone of the Week Award at the end of the show. And you guessed it, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, the senators from Arizona and South Carolina, respectively. They're getting this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. I'll tell you more about it at the end. As I said, we're going to talk about Medicaid expansion. I got a couple of articles I need to help fill you in before we talk to Josh Withrow from Freedom Works. And also, Paul Ryan's budget has been made public. Where's the presidents? Where's the Democrats? What are they going to do? So we got a lot to talk about. And one thing I am glad is that you are listening to us. And like I said before, you will hear things from this show you won't hear anywhere else. We're glad you're tuning in. Continue to tell your friends and neighbors. And don't forget, go back and listen to the archives. If you haven't been able to listen to all the shows, we've got Web Talk Radio does a great job of putting things in the archives. You can see the titles of the show. Go back and listen to those because we have had some great guests. And why I'm telling you that, just before we get into today's show, next week's guest will be none other than Ted Cruz's father, the senator from Texas, who's done an outstanding job standing up in the hearings and backing up Rand Paul in the filibuster. And he's one of the young guns that the New York Times is trying to smear now. That tells you how strong he is, how valuable he is to the conservative movement. Senator Ted Cruz, his father, will be here next week. We'll be interviewing him, and you don't want to miss that. So what about today's show? Well, it is about Obamacare. Obama cares. Something's wrong. Well, it reminds me of this tune. Let's listen to this, and then we'll go right into today's show. Obamacare, it is cold as ice because it promises something that there's no way it'll ever work. Paul Ryan said this in his budget. He says it's set to repeal Obamacare because he says Obamacare will fall flat on its own when people realize what it's going to do. And people just don't have a understanding of it yet, but they're getting a hint. I know in my practice when you work, I work in people's mouths, and I'm having to tell them, look, fees are going up because of Obamacare, because everything in dentistry is being called a medical device. And the suppliers, they charge me higher rates. What do? I got to pass it on. So the dental care, it's going up because of Obamacare. And guess what? When you take your pet to the veterinarian, they use some of the same type of devices that is used in medicine. So their cost is going up. So Obamacare is costing our pet owners and the veterinarians across the country, the farmers. Think of all the veterinarian bills. Hey, it's going up for Obamacare. Obama doesn't care when it comes to the national debt. Obviously, he's added $6 trillion more. He's as cold as ice when you think about the health of this country. Where are we going? And that's why today's show with Josh Withrow, we'll be talking about Medicaid expansion in a few minutes. But I wanted you to get an update with Paul Ryan's budget getting blistered by the press. And this year, I'll have to say, it's better than last year because he gets this thing balanced in 10 years. Not only that, he gets us on a way of paying down our debt. And I don't see any Democrat response that doesn't have an unending, growing national debt. And as of the recording of this show, the Democrats haven't put out any. The White House has put out its budget. The Senate Democrats, 4 years, they still haven't put out their budget. Maybe they have by the time you're hearing this. But I want to see what they have. And listen, this is where Republicans fall on their feet. They shoot themselves in the foot with the press. Why in the world would you let someone in the media criticize Paul Ryan's budget? If you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, why would you let anyone criticize it without turning around and saying, let me see your budget before you criticize? Before you let the White House criticize Paul Ryan's budget, you stop that reporter, you grab him by the neck and say, listen, you go and look at President Obama's budget, look at the Senate Democrats' budget, and then come back and ask me why I'm doing this, why I'm doing that. Look at theirs. Get their advice. Get their budget. And this is where Republicans need help. They need help severely when it comes to getting a message across. Why do you let somebody lambast your budget, you know, without saying put up or shut up? You know, make them shut up until they come out with their own budget. And then you can compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges. But right now, the press will have a field day with the Ryan budget and how it's going to do everything 10 times worse than the sequester is supposed to do. And this is where we lose the game with the press. I hate it's a game. It gets depressing. But Frank Luntz, let me tell you some things. Frank Luntz went to Freedom Works and gave some of his word wisdom is what I call it. Dr. Frank Luntz, a poster, and been helping the Republican Party for years now. He helped put the Republican majority in back in 1994. But this is, let me give you some examples. He says the original language, what Republicans come out with, they say, repair the Social Security net. And this is how Frank Luntz says, this is how you're supposed to say it. Guarantee the promise of Medicare and Social Security. Much better. Let's try it again. When Republicans say we need to reform Medicare, he just simply changes one word, reform, to strengthen. He says it's much better to say let's strengthen Medicare. And that's what the Republicans are trying to do, but they're not getting their message across. Here's a Republican say, free market influences will affect the quality by allowing you to work directly with the physician. Does that sink in? This is what Frank Luntz says. Our patient-centered approach will make sure that the only person making healthcare choices for you are you and your doctor. Sounds much better? and it gets the message across. Let's do one more, and then we're going to get on with the show. But you need to hear these things that Frank Luntz is talking about and why the Republican leadership won't take the time to read these things that Frank Luntz has already polled, and he knows what the American people want to hear. And the leadership keeps shooting himself in the foot. If you need gun control, and I'm not talking about the real gun control, but the Republicans need to control the loose bullets that keep shooting themselves in the foot by not being able to explain in simple language what the American people want to hear. It cost us an election last year, and we've got to get some smarter people up to the plate. And I am glad to see Rand Paul, what I talked about last week, and the filibuster. There's some smart people out there. We just got to get them to the plate and sort of may have to get the old hook and crook and pull some of these old-time politicians off. I'll talk about that when it comes in the Tombstone of the Week award coming up at the end. But let's do, a couple more here for Frank Luntz. He says Republicans say we should promote a free market approach to Medicare with more competition. Instead of saying that, why don't we say we should put patients in control and force insurance companies to compete for their business? Again, just a simple twist of words, and it makes it so much better for the American people to understand. And one more says, Obamacare is Obamacare is an egregious violation of privacy and patient rights. You know, it's much better say the president's health care law gives Washington too much control and patients too little. We need more patient-centered approach, a more patient-centered approach. And we certainly do. And not only that, this is where we're getting into the meat of today's show, Medicaid expansion. The states are being waved with a big carrot if they'll expand Medicaid. And it's a state-federal partnership with most of the money coming from Washington. The different states get different degrees, but they get the hook in the nose like we talked about last week. Once that tax hook goes into the nose of the taxpayers in the state to pay for this, do you think Washington's going to keep pouring out money when they're going further and further in debt? Well, that's what we're going to talk about more today. And before we get to Josh Withrow, let me just remind everybody that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I want to tell you something about this show. We are digging into areas that some people are afraid to bring up and some people don't understand it. But that's why we got Josh Withrow coming on the show in a couple minutes. But first, let me tell you about Medicaid expansion. I know in my state of Mississippi, we have a governor, the Tea Party backed him up, and he is fighting to say no to Medicaid expansion. We are a poor state. In Mississippi, we get the largest match of any other state if we'll on Medicaid dollars. The federal government matches us 3-1 almost. And that's one of the things people go, we can't afford not to expand Medicaid. But the governor of Mississippi, along with the legislatures in both branches, the Republicans can now control both branches of the House and the Senate in Mississippi, the first time since Reconstruction in 1875. But let me tell you what is going on. The Democrats are just pulling out everything they can to say we have to expand Medicaid. You have to for the working poor. Well, one of the things that President Obama wants to do with Obamacare is get it so in place that nobody will ever say we can't back away from it. So why in the first place, if it can't even be funded correctly, would you ever set it up? And that's one of the things Governor Bryant in Mississippi is doing. And now the governor in Arkansas, his state, there's a lot of Republicans there, but the governor is a Democrat. And what he's doing is saying, let's don't expand Medicaid, but if the Obama administration will let us use that same amount of money, the federal dollars, then what we want to do is buy private insurance with the federal dollars. And so they're looking at that. And the Obama administration has approved that. We talked about that a little bit last week with Josh Withrow. And like Josh said, it's still coming from taxpayers' money. And even though it's federal government not tying into the state, when you do Medicaid, the state has got more on is hooked more on the hook with the taxes. And this is all new, and they're trying to figure this out. And the same thing is being looked at in the state of Florida. And then if you ask about there's about 235,000 patients in Arkansas that might be able to get this. But if you go to Florida, you're talking about over 1 million people may be put on federal rolls to be federally subsidized. And that is the part that's going to break the nation. All the estimates, we knew they were wrong. We knew they were laughable. We knew they were lies, great big lies, to get this thing passed in 2010. So when can you take lies and say this thing is dead on arrival? Well, that's what the Republicans need to do. And I don't see the leadership like Boehner and others taking this thing, taking this Obamacare by the horns and wrestling it down and saying, here's the truth of the matter. Let's kill it before it kills our economy. And that's why FreedomWorks is so good about getting this message across. So let's go right in our interview with Josh Withrow. And last week we introduced him as a Jedi, like a Jedi fighting the Obamacare Death Star. Josh Withrow is like a Jedi Knight fighting the Emperor's Death Star called Obamacare. We're going to give him some music, and then we're going to ask him a question. We just asked him a question about Medicaid expansion, and so that's where we're going to go right into the interview, when he'll help explain ways that we can help explain why we don't need Medicaid expansion and what we can help do without the Medicaid expansion. So let's go. We're going to play a little music, get everybody revved up for Josh, and go right into the second half of the interview.
Well, I mean, obviously, from the purely pragmatic aspect, a big reason why states should not expand this Medicaid is because the reason they're being enticed to do this by the federal government is the federal government is telling states, if you expand Medicaid, we will fully fund that expansion for up to 3 years. Because currently, Medicaid is a split between the federal government and the states. Mississippi, for example, has probably the most favorable split of any state. That the federal government pays for over 70% of all of the Medicaid costs to Mississippi. But in some states, it's more like 50-50 or 60-40. And so they're telling them, for all of these extra people being covered, they'll pay for them for 3 years. But the problem is the federal government doesn't give any guarantees as to what's going to happen after 3 years. So after 3 years, you're going to find these states having expanded Medicaid to all of these people, and suddenly the federal government pulls its money away, and the state doesn't have the money to cover these people. So they're either going to have to drop these people, which is possibly even crueler than having covered them at all, or they're going to have to absorb this massive millions of dollars hit in their budget that they're not going to have any way to pay for.
Well, those are the things that every taxpayer should be trying to understand, and every politician should get their hands around that. There are states like my state of Mississippi, and like I said, it's got the highest reimbursement from the federal government. And that's what's going on in our state now, is why should we not expand Medicaid? Because the federal government gives us more money than they give any other state. And the government and the governor of Mississippi, to his credit, Phil Bryant, is standing strong at this point, but he's taking a lot of heat. So what can states do, or what can people do to help those who are low income that don't have insurance to help get medical care?
So in the short term, without major Medicaid reforms, major federal reforms, in the short term, there still are some really good ways to get health care to people in low incomes without putting them onto Medicaid, which, as I've already said, and we agree, often leads to worse outcomes than the alternative.
Right.
One of them is for people who have pre-existing conditions, particularly low-income people with pre-existing conditions. You know, pre-existing conditions are expensive. I have one. I'm an asthmatic. Those medicines are expensive, and you have to pay for them for all of your life. Allow those kind of people to get into high-risk pools where insurance plans that are specifically made for people who are likely to have a higher insurance cost, and therefore a large quantity of them pulling together can do that and end up with a lower insurance rate, make it more affordable. But also the other encouraging thing that's happening with more people being uninsured is that the market is creating a demand for what's being called concierge medicine, which is where patients can go to a doctor and pay them usually a very low yearly fee and go and get service basically whenever they want. Basic care, routine care, preventative medicine. I actually go to a place where you pay a doctor about $300 a year, and for that you can basically go and get routine checkups and immunizations and all those kind of basic routine things all you want. All of the fees and all of the money that you pay is put right in front of you, almost like a menu, so that you can choose what you want, what kind of care that you want. You can see exactly what it costs, and you can make rational decisions on what you can afford in terms of your health care. And because you're doing this and avoiding the third-party system of insurance companies or Medicaid, the care is way, way cheaper.
And now, how does that fold into Obamacare? Does it have anything to do with Obamacare, or would that be outlawed when Obamacare starts?
Because these concierge care type of places tend to operate more or less outside of insurance or in cooperation with insurance, a lot of this routine care is not affected essentially by Obamacare at all, because you're paying the doctor directly and you're avoiding this third party middleman who skims off some of the money you're paying in the first place.
Right. Okay. I see. So that could be something that again, a low income worker, the hard worker, is having a hard time finding insurance. If they can't get it through an expanded Medicaid, then they'll give an alternative to just going to an emergency room.
Right, because the thing that we focus on all along is that the thing that people should not be focusing on is not increasing coverage, certainly not in terms of day-to-day healthcare costs. It should be lowering costs so that everybody, particularly low-income people, can actually afford these things.
Now, Josh, let me stop you right there, because you just said something that I don't think anybody in Washington understands, and very few politicians do. You said instead of focusing on, access to care, you need to focus on the cost and getting the cost down lower. That's what you were trying to explain. Is that right?
That's exactly it.
And so
to that end, obviously, there are some larger scale reforms that need to happen in the long term to alleviate this problem of high costs for people who have low income now.
You got any ideas we could do? Of course, with Obamacare hanging over like a big boulder rolling down a mountain, it just seems like there's no way to stop it now. But
the good news I will say on Obamacare is that this effort to block the exchanges, like I said with the lawsuit, does leave us a very real opportunity to potentially dismantle that law, because it is in fact going to, and it already is, increasing costs of health care for absolutely everybody in this country.
Well, I agree with that.
Solutions to health care, I mean, one of the best things you could possibly do for Medicaid, and therefore all these low-income people who can't afford good insurance, would be to go ahead and block grant Medicaid, which is something that people have been talking about for a long time, but no one has ever been willing to act on.
Of course, Obamacare doesn't want to even think about block granting Medicaid, because they'd leave their hands out of it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. A lot of these folks who like the central planning in government don't like the idea of actually leaving it to the states to decide what the best way would be to get their lower income citizens covered. But as we showed in 1996 with the welfare reform, when you started block granting that same amount of money and letting the states handle it, the fraud went down, the actual effective results of the people who were on the welfare programs went up, and so this money was used a lot more effectively and helped a lot more people a lot better. And the same thing would almost certainly happen with Medicaid getting the government middleman out of it and leaving the states to cover the people as is best for their own citizens.
Well, Josh, you make some great points right there, and I appreciate you coming on. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and this is something that everybody needs to know about. And what can people do if they want to help block the exchanges in their state and want to call their state representatives and state senators and their governor? Where can they find out more information about what they need to do?
Well, at FreedomWorks, we've set up a website that's simply called blockexchanges.com. And on that website, we have a map that shows all of the states and kind of where they're standing on the exchanges, whether they're establishing them or not. And for a lot of the states, we have you can click on your state, and it'll take you to an action page where you can actually send a message to your governor and your top state officials and let them know that you either want them to hold their ground on the exchanges if you're fortunate enough to be in a state like Mississippi where they're not establishing an exchange, or if you're in a state where they are establishing an exchange, tell your state officials that, hey, it's not too late. You need to stop this thing because it's going to hurt us and everybody in the state in the long run.
Well, Josh, I appreciate you, your hard work and staying on top of this issue and what you do at FreedomWorks and what everybody does at FreedomWorks. So I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll have to get you on again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for your work as well, Doc.
All right. And that's Josh Withrow from FreedomWorks. And let me just take this opportunity to help everybody understand what a great organization FreedomWorks is. And you can go right on our homepage, click on that picture of Matt Kibbe, his president of FreedomWorks, and you'll find what a fine organization this is to help the grassroots members of your group, of your Tea Party group, of your 9/11 group, of your group that goes out and works the knocks on the doors and works the neighborhoods. We need the information that we get from FreedomWorks. They got some great experts. We're going to have more in the next coming weeks that will help us understand what we must do to save our country. Our country is dying. I said it before. And if we don't do some things to get the health of our country and freedom back in order, it's going to be a slow and agonizing death. I am very excited about seeing all the people at FreedomWorks and meeting many of them, and not only FreedomWorks, but you, my listeners, you across the country who are making a difference where you are. This is not the time to give up. And that's why I look at what happened when Rand Paul stood up in that filibuster. And that's why we're going to go right into this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And that goes to, for our new listeners, the Tombstone of the Week Award goes to something said, someone did, some action. But in this case, it's the words of Senator John McCain and also Senator Lindsey Graham when Rand Paul filibustered. And he had some young guns there in the United States Senate. We call them Team Freedom. When Rand Paul stood up for over 12 hours to filibuster the nomination of Brennan, he knew it was going to happen. He couldn't stop it. But he wanted to make a point that the United States Constitution doesn't give anyone, not even the President of the United States, the right to go with a drone strike on American soil when there's no imminent danger or terror and strike somebody dead just because he's sitting at a cafe somewhere and he's on a hit list by the president. The attorney general and the president and the White House would not come out and say this protected right. And our Constitution protects us from that. And that's what Rand Paul wanted to shine some light on. I'm glad he did it. And he had help from Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Tim Scott, some other young Republican senators. And you know what? John McCain and Lindsey Graham, when the reporters asked them about what Rand Paul did as the filibuster, they had the audacity to say they were wackos. That's the word Senator John McCain used, they're wackos. Wow, this is the guy that really put us in a position where we're losing freedom because he ran such a poor presidential campaign in 2008. Senator John McCain, we just threw it away, gave the liberals everything. The ultra-liberals got into power because of John McCain's poor performance as a campaigner for the presidency of the United States. He couldn't articulate the principles of freedom and what the conservatives stand for because he's not a conservative. That's why it couldn't come from the gut, and American people knew it, and it got beat. And now when somebody stands up in the United States on principle, he calls them a wacko. This is what's happening, folks, and I'm glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because I'm going to tell you what you need to know. That was the line in the sand. Now, I'm not saying who's crossed it, who ain't crossed it, but that moment when Rand Paul and his fellow young Republicans stood up, they said, we're not going to just back down. We're not going to take it. We're not going to let poor leadership make us go the wrong way. And what we saw with John McCain and Lindsey Graham is the old part of the Republican Party that's always giving in and giving up and saying, let's go sing kumbaya with the president. As long as we get to sit at the table, then that's okay. And while the president just rips away freedom, rips it out of the sails of our sailors, rips it out of the flag, and rips it out of the hearts in the minds of the American citizens. And that's why we need some new leadership. And I believe John McCain will fade and fade away. Lindsey Graham may, he's younger than John McCain. He may fade away faster because he's got a primary coming up in 2014. And all my good listeners in South Carolina, you knew what you needed to do, but now it's open season as far as finding an opponent for Lindsey Graham. I like what Lindsey Graham has done about Benghazi, but we still don't have answers, so I don't know if it's been effective. But we got to find somebody that will show some strong leadership for conservatives. Some people may say, right on, lead us on, brother. But we can't find those when they always sitting down and singing kumbaya because they get to go to the White House and always being put up on a pedestal by the media because, hey, here's some bipartisanship. Well, you know what? Bipartisanship goes both ways. And if the other side's not going to bend any, then that's not bipartisanship. And I'm telling you right now, I believe we see it set in motion. And that's why I am glad that next week we're having on this show the father of Senator Ted Cruz. I look forward to speaking with him, and you'll need to look forward to next week's show. Rafael Cruz will be coming on. And I'm telling you, he'll have a fascinating story to tell you, and he'll give you some enthusiasm to stand up and fight for the rights of the American citizen, American Constitution. It's a special document, unlike any other in the entire world, the freedoms that the government cannot take away. Inalienable rights by our Creator. Let me just end up the Tombstone of the Week Award saying that's what Lindsey Graham, John McCain, when they called these young senators wackos for standing up for their principles, they and their words should be buried 6 feet in the ground under a tombstone. You don't call your fellow Republicans with enthusiasm wackos. That's what gets you beat in a presidential campaign, Senator McCain. Maybe somebody in Arizona, maybe he'll retire and we can get Jan Brewer down there to put somebody else in the Senate. It comes time to close, and we've had another week. And I wish there's so many other things we need to talk about. But you got to remember, I am enthused because of you, because we hear the songs of freedom. We hear the bells, the Liberty Bell ringing. When I hear Rand Paul stand, when I hear Ted Cruz at the hearings, when I hear young senators like Mike Lee and Tim Scott of South Carolina, the only African-American in the United States Senate, he is made of good, strong, principled character. And there's hope out there, folks. Keep listening. Next week we got Ted Cruz. That's Rafael Cruz, the father of United States Senator Ted Cruz. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.